pray that we would be encouraged by looking at your word, that we would understand it better. Lord, we don't understand it as well as we should, but we praise you that we do have it. We thank you for the Savior. We thank you for his complete work. We pray you would send your Spirit to encourage us and teach us, knowing our God, that without your Spirit's instruction, we will understand nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother John, could you shut that door right there? Thank you. Who's late today?
You.
The guy who's always giving me the hard time about not starting on time?
There's no holes in the paper.
There's what?
No holes.
Yeah, you're right. How come?
I can't put it in my binder.
You just passed the test. Let me give you the background on that one. Sometimes people at jobs whose job is to produce reports for people, you guys at work understand that? Sometimes they wonder, do people really use those reports? So you know what they'll do? They'll not print the report and see if anybody complains. And if nobody complains, they stop printing the report.
Exactly.
Right? Because nobody needs it. Jeff, I don't know if you ever run that in the work or something like that. Well, I decided not to print the three holes, or not to punch the three holes, just to see if anybody would say, where's the three holes? I need to put them in my binder. Mr. Plevyak, you just passed the test. Yeah, Herman, okay, so we will. Well, I didn't bring the three-hole punch with me.
You can bring it next week.
Well, write the notes on it first, you know, and then we'll do it, okay? Write your name on it too, so I get it back to you. Okay, I should have brought the three-hole punch, huh? Okay. Anybody need a handout?
64.
Yes, it's 64. It's a new one just for today. Mrs. K, you need one? Kathy, hand one to Mrs. K, please. Okay, there we go. Okay, so we are in John 18. We are beginning the trial of Jesus. We looked at John 17 at the high priestly prayer. And now we see that Jesus is arrested. The soldiers fall back. Why did they fall back when Jesus says, hey, I'm the guy you're looking for? And he says, who are you looking for? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, that's me. Why did they fall back? Well, the text doesn't tell us, but the implication seems to be that he revealed a bit of his character. In fact, I didn't bring the references with me today. Not doing well today, you can tell. And there are a lot of references when God reveals himself that the people fall back in the Old Testament. So, you got some for us, Kathy? What are they? Kathy brought her notes. Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
Ezekiel 1:28.
So Ezekiel 1:28. What Why don't you give us the Daniel 10, these Daniel ones. What's going on in Daniel?
The 2:46 was interpretation of the statue and Nebuchadnezzar.
Interesting. You mean the one, the great king? Didn't he call himself King of Kings too?
The one that went crazy.
Yeah, he went crazy.
God.
Yeah, right. And when he finally does give glory to God, he gets a sound mind back.
Yeah.
Sort of reminds me of the sound mind idea in Timothy, but go ahead.
8:18 is the vision of Daniel. He fell into a deep sleep with his face on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel 10:9, Daniel saw a vision. Others didn't see that same vision, but a great dread fell on him.
Great dread fell on Daniel.
And they fell to the ground also.
Okay. Got some others for us?
Acts.
The book of Acts?
Acts 9:4.
See, which is what?
Paul.
What about Paul?
Paul is, Jesus is calling Paul, the light brighter than the sun. The others saw it, he felt it.
Okay, so where is Paul?
On the road to Damascus.
Right, this is Paul's conversion. Okay, right? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, who are you that I'm persecuting? I don't remember persecuting anybody. Right? I'm Jesus, and when you persecute my people, you persecute me. So, in other words, Paul, you picked a fight with the wrong guy. But what does Jesus do? Does he thump on Paul? No, he saves Paul. Right? In other words, Jesus declares war on Paul by showing him his love. Is that right? Okay. A couple more for us.
Acts 22:7. It's a reference to that same incident.
So Paul is reflecting back on the incident. Okay.
6:14. 26:14.
Paul again is reflecting back on it.
And then John's reaction to the revelation of Christ in Revelation 1:17.
Okay. So there's a number of them that give us a hint that when God reveals himself in certain ways, people typically fall back. So when Jesus says, who are you looking for? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't really say, well, that's me. What does he say? I am. Remember, which is God's name. And they fall back. So some people think, and I think there's some evidence for it, that it is possibly Jesus revealing a bit of his character. So, in verse 8 then of John 18, he says, I told you that I am, therefore, if you seek me, let these go, that the same might be fulfilled of those whom you gave me, I've lost none. And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And what did we see here? We talked a little bit about ethics last time. Remember that? So, in other words, Peter did this from what? A good motive, right? Obviously. And so we asked the question, is a good motive alone the definition of a good work? And the answer is no. Okay. And Peter had other times when he did things with good motives, right? Remember when Jesus predicts he's going to die and Peter pulls him aside and says, no, Lord, you're not going to die. You're God, the Son. You're the Savior. You're not going to die. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay? So again, Peter had good motives, but that alone is not what determines a good work. So when somebody says, well, I meant well, the answer is yes, you meant well, but that doesn't determine if it's a good work. And what is the criteria for a good work biblically? Goal, motive, standard. Okay, so Peter had a good motive, but it wasn't according to the word of God. That's the standard. Right, and the motive was for the glory of God. Okay, what was that? That's right. It was his goal, not God's goal. Yeah. Okay. So, well, by the way, this little note about the servant's name—that's one of John's the only gospel that names him, Malchus. Okay. Some people wonder why is that. Some writers want to say, well, that shows that this is obviously a later book. Later meaning, you know, instead of John's life, you know, 100 years later, 150 years later, because he just made up a name. But we're going to learn about John a little bit in a few verses that he was known to the high priest, relative perhaps to the high priest. And so he may have known the high priest's servant. What?
The one of Peter was raised.
Yeah, no wonder. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so now the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Then they led him away to Annas first, which was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. What is that talking about? Caiaphas said it is expedient that one man should die for the people. What is that referring to?
What he said.
Who said it?
When the priest
met
together to discuss
going
away to Christ.
Right. And when was that?
It's a few chapters back.
Very good. It's a few chapters back. Don't you? There's a New Testament quote that says, now somewhere it says, and it quotes, well, I think it's Psalm 2 it quotes. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So you're following good pattern there, Cindy. Okay. Now, you might have a cross-reference in your Bible to where that takes place. Okay. So where does this take place? Yes. Well, mine says John 11:50. So let's go back to John 11:50. Is that it? Okay. Okay. What is John 11? Do you remember? It's the last of Jesus' seven signs, which is Raising of Lazarus. Okay, the raising of Lazarus. And so what happens? They're so impressed. They say, he is God the Son. He is the Messiah. We must worship him. They say, we got to get rid of this guy. Yeah, Lazarus too, right? Can I imagine Lazarus had an interesting testimony. Don't you think? Okay, so we got to get rid of these guys. Okay, and so notice here. So begin, let's get some context. Verse 45. The many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees. They went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Now the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For the man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Well, we can't do that. We're in too favored a place with the Romans. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation should perish. You see, this is the quote that John's referring to. This is that same Caiaphas. Now, this he did not say in his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Okay? So, Caiaphas is the one who made the statement. In other words, we got to get rid of this Jesus, or we're going to have problems and issues, and then Romans are going to take our position away from us and our nation. We're going to have all kinds of issues because there's going to be riots. Who knows what is the implication, right? Remember the Pax Romana? What was the Pax Romana? The Roman peace? You dare not disrupt the Pax Romana. Remember the book of Acts? One of the situations, we might have a riot here going on, it says in the book of Acts. You don't do that kind of stuff, right? So therefore, we got to get rid of this guy to keep our position here, to keep the nation squared away like it is. And one guy, we're going to kill him, but everything's going to be good for the nation. That's what Caiaphas said. And so we have that same idea now in John 18 that John is referring to. So let's keep going. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and did so did another disciple. Now the disciple was known to the high priest. Now who was this other disciple that followed with along with Simon Peter? Followed Jesus? Okay, how do we know that? Yeah. John never names himself as the author of the book. Okay, so it's probably John. Most people think it was John. And now that disciple was known to the high priest. Some people think maybe a relative, you know, but he's known to the high priest. Okay. Yeah, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Now, some people again want to say, oh, this is obvious. This couldn't be written by John, because what was John's job before Jesus called him?
Fisherman.
And where did he live?
Galilee.
And where's Galilee? Is it close to Jerusalem or far away? Far, far away. So therefore, this couldn't be true. Well, sure, it could be true. Yeah, Cindy?
Because he was a devout person.
A devout person. Sure, he could have gone to Jerusalem. It would have been very normal for him to go to Jerusalem.
He would have met the high priest.
Sure. Maybe he was a relative. You know, those kind of, it's been very easy. So just because John, you know, we think John wrote the book, and there he is, you know, from, you know, however many miles away that is, you know, and remember everybody traveled on foot those days. That's no argument against the authorship, or the Johannine authorship. Okay? But that this is used. So he goes into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door outside. And then now the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door. So how prestigious is this person that he's talking to? Not very. She's the doorkeeper. Right? She's the doorkeeper. That's not a prestigious position. You remember the psalm that says, well, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the temple than a rich man, something like that, okay? In other words, I'd rather be the bottom of the servants. Okay? My job is to open the door and make sure somebody's got the password or the invite for the party or whatever it is, right? Okay? Not too prestigious. Yeah, that's where we're about to head to. Thank you. Yeah, remember that was your homework. Yeah. Okay. And brought talked to her and brought Peter in. And that servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're one of the man's disciples, aren't you?" And he says, "Not me." Okay, so let's deal with the issues that we have here. And your homework was to go to the other Gospels. And I know Kathy did it, because Kathy always does her homework, right, Kathy? You left it on the desk at home. Okay, well. We had that issue at home, except the dog ate Diane's retainer. Yeah. No, that was no fun. So anyway. So let's begin and let's do some comparisons. And the first thing I want to compare with is the different Gospels with the prophecy of Jesus. What was the prophecy of Jesus? Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Okay?
Or before the cock crows twice.
Very good. So you did your homework too.
Yeah.
Which one says before the cock crows twice?
One of the Gospels.
Thank you. Very good. And we know it's not John, right? It's Mark. Very good, Kathy. So there's, first of all, is the prediction. Okay, so we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Okay, Kathy, what's the quote in Mark?
I'm not there yet. I'm in Matthew.
Okay.
Mark 14 is the chapter.
Okay. Okay, before the cock crows.
Before the cock crows, you will deny me. Before the cock crows two times. So, in verse 72, immediately the rooster crows the second time, and Peter remembers how Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three.
Okay, so is Mark the only one that has this about the cock crowing twice? Yes, Mark's the only one that's got this. The rest of them have, before the cock crows, implication is once, right? Okay. So we'll deal with the issue there. There seems to be a contradiction here. Okay, now what else? Okay. So then we have the prediction itself, you will deny me. Now let's go to Matthew's Gospel. Okay. In Matthew 26:47, now while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came with the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer was given a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one who sees him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to them, friend, why have you come? And they came and laid hands on him. And took him, and suddenly one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said, put your sword in its place. All who will take the sword will perish by the sword. Okay. Do you think that I cannot now pray to the Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? What did the pastor say? How many?
72,000.
That's a lot of troops to move suddenly, isn't it? 72,000 troops? Suddenly show up, you got 72,000 troops right in your midst, all armed, ready to go. Okay, and the theory is typically that angels were not very attractive to look at. Because what do angels always say to somebody when they first meet them? Yeah, don't be afraid. Okay, so they were probably kind of intimidating looking, you know. So, suddenly there's 72,000 there. Jesus said, I could have done that. You know, okay. So if he doesn't, okay, but how could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen? And multitude, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. All that was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Okay, then down to verse 69. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard. A servant girl came to him saying, you are with Jesus of Galilee, and he denied it. I don't know what you're saying. and had gone out of the gateway, another girl, or another, the word girl is implied, saw him and said to those who were with him, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth, and he denied, said, I don't know the man. And a little later, those who stood up, stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of these, your speech betrays you. Now, what does that mean, your speech betrays you? They have accents. Okay. Now, how could they have that different of an accent if they weren't that far? You know, it was 100 miles or so, wasn't that far, 150 miles. Yeah, easily. Yeah, yeah. If you get your ear attuned to us Americans, Glasgow and Edinburgh are all about 60 miles apart, but their accents are very distinct. You can tell a Glaswegian and Edinburgh, somebody from Edinburgh. Okay, their accents are quite different. Okay, even though they're only, in today's modern transportation and going back and forth and all that, they're only about 60 miles apart. So they could easily happen. Okay. Then he began to curse and to swear, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. So Matthew's account, so let's call these the questions of the questioning. Okay, so the questioning. So what does Matthew have? First of all, it's servant girl. Okay, and then what's the second one? Okay, another. Okay, and then the word girl is in italics, which means what? It's not there in the Greek, it's sort of implied. Okay, and what's the third one? A bystander. Bystanders, plural. Interesting. Okay. Another blank. Okay. And then, when? How many times does a rooster crow? In Matthew? Just once.
Well, no. You have to assume that. Because if you've ever heard cock crowing, if you think they only crow once, and they never say that, it just says the cock crow. It never says once. We got ones by our house. They don't stop at once.
Did you know in San Diego you can have 5 chickens in your backyard? They all have to be hens. Because of the way they cock crows. Why can't you not have roosters in your backyard? They make noise. Lots. Let's go to Mark. I'm just proving you're right, Ray. Okay, that's why. Okay, in Mark 14, verse 66. Now, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came, and she saw Peter warming himself. Now, this is the first time there's warming, because Matthew doesn't talk about the warming situation, but Mark does, okay? He looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth, and he denied and said, I neither know nor understand what you're saying, and he went out on the porch. So he goes to the porch. So there's a servant girl again. Okay, but he goes to the porch. P-O-R-C-H, is it right?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And then the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. So we have the servant girl, but she doesn't ask Peter. She's talking with the group, right? So she said, when a girl talks to the group, okay, so to the group, and Peter hears apparently this discussion. We don't know all that went on in the discussion with the group, according to Mark, right? But Peter denies it. And then we go to, and a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean, for your speech shows it. So we have the speech again issue, right? Okay, so we have the bystanders, those in the area, apparently. Okay, so this is the same thing. Okay, and again, we have that speech issue. Okay, he begins to curse and to swear and says, I don't know the man of whom you speak. And the second time the rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Okay. So, Mark is the one that makes the big deal about the twice, because not only is it in the prediction, but it's actually in the working out. Okay, he highlights that and points it out. Okay, let's go to Luke.
He also mentions two girls instead of one.
Okay. Okay, where's that?
Well, here he says the servant girls, so implying one.
Yeah, so in verse 69, the servant girl is talking to the group, right? So here's the girl, here the girl addresses Peter, and here she's talking to the group. So, and I'm leading you to the answer. It appears there was some sort of group discussion. Seems to imply that. And Peter replies to the group, right? No, 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 I don't know the guy. Okay? And then he's asked directly again. Okay. I mean, y'all have been involved in group discussions, and they evolve, and it sort of involves you directly or something, and you speak up. Okay? Let's go to Luke.
Wait a minute,
he mentions
another servant girl.
No, it says another.
Oh, another, yeah.
Okay, it just says, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, it just says another. It doesn't say another girl. The word girl is put in there by the translators. It's not there in the Greek. It just says another. Okay, so here's where I'm leading to. If this was a group discussion, okay, have we ever had group discussions here? Okay, okay. Sometimes one person speaks up in the group, and sometimes another person speaks up in the group, but it's all the same discussion, right? So couldn't different people refer to that same group discussion, and somebody say, well, he said this, and somebody says, well, she said that, but it's all the same group. And Peter replies to the group, it appears like, right? Okay. Okay. Okay, Luke chapter 22. Okay, verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Now, why did they build the fire? This is the second time. Matthew doesn't have the fire. Mark and Luke have the fire. Why did they build the fire? How do you know that?
Because they
had
the fire.
No, because John tells you it's cold. John tells you it's cold. Hey, you two, separate. You remember in class when the teacher did that, you two troublemakers?
I remember very well. And I don't remember very much.
Okay, let's go. Okay. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down together. Peter sat among them. And the servant girl, seeing him as he sat at fire, looked intently and said, this man was with them also. Whom did she say it to? Yeah, notice she's not addressing him. Right? She's talking to the group. Okay. So Peter denied, said, I don't know him. And after a little while, another said to him, you also are among them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, by the way, was it Matthew who said, after a little while? Here it tells us about an hour. John inserts some events that go on in here, but these don't. In the middle of Peter's denials, the trial is still going on, isn't it? Okay, and so John inserts an event, okay. But this one seems to be different. This is the girl to the group. Okay, and then what was the next one in Luke? Okay, he denied it. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you're one of them. So there's another. Okay, and then we have... Okay. That's because you probably have the NEV. ESV, rather.
No.
No?
I have the NESV.
Okay. Let me check.
Someone else?
Okay, let me check that out in a minute. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's go on. And Peter says, man, I am not. And then, which helps answer your question about another what. Right? Okay. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Now, how did they know he was a Galilean? By his accent, right? Okay. And Peter said, man, I don't know what you're saying. Immediately, while they're saying, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So here we have what? The Lord turns and looks at Peter. Now, in this whole, this little pericope here of the denials, Jesus is not mentioned to this, but obviously, it, at least it appears, wherever Peter was, he could see Jesus and Jesus could see him. So the trial or something is going on. Maybe, John tells us that they were in this courtyard area, apparently. Okay, so maybe there was like a raised porch or something like that. And the trial that is going on there. And now, Jesus can look down and see Peter. So we don't know, according to Luke, we don't know what's going on during this time. But Jesus sees Peter. Peter sees Jesus. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord that he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. John adds the point, Peter leaves. Okay, so who was the third one?
Another man.
Another man. Now let's go to John. Okay. Now, you'll see that beginning in verse 15 of chapter 18, we have the first denial. And then we have John inserts a section where Jesus is questioned by the high priest, and then we have Peter denying two more times. So John has that whole section inserted. Gives us a little hint of what was going on during all of this, because who was it? Was it Luke said an hour later? You know, the third one here? Yeah, okay, an hour later. So, I mean, something had to be going on during that time. And John gives us a hint, or not a hint, he actually gives us the information of what was going on. So, verse 15 of John 18. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now the disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood on the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out, spoke to her who kept the door. Peter brought in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of the disciples, are you? Now I want you to note, the language appears to be a question. And it appears not to have been all that accusatory. You know, John's inside the courtyard. Peter's outside. John goes to the girl who's the doorkeeper. And John maybe was known as one of Jesus' disciples, right? And she's opened the door to Peter. Come on in. You're not one of his disciples too, are you? It isn't. You're not one of his, are you? It was. We don't know, but it appears not to be all that accusatory. And Peter denies it. Maybe it was kind of dangerous. A little bit later, we're going to read about a relative of Malchus. Who was Malchus? His ears cut off. Says, weren't you the guy out there when we arrested him? You know, and maybe Peter doesn't want to be known too much about who he is and what happened, right? So Peter, just to a little servant girl, says no. Okay? So it's to a girl. The doorkeeper servant girl, right? So it's the servant girl. Okay, then we have the events. You know, it is so nice. Well, I can't see the time because of the glare. Okay, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus says, I speak openly, etc. Okay, then Anna sends him to Caiaphas. Now, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore, they said to him, you're not one of his disciples, are you? So they said to him, notice it's they said to him. That tells me it's a group of people. And Jesus says, I'm not. And one of the servants, a high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? You know, it was probably kind of dark in the garden, right? I mean, was it night? Okay. Then Peter denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Okay? So who do we have here as the second one? And John?
They.
This whole group idea, right? Apparently so. Okay, and then what do we have down here? This is the one who's a relative, Malchus's relative, right? Okay. Okay. So, then we have the rooster crows, right? Now, we have John, or Luke gives us the inside of that Jesus and Peter looked at each other, apparently, okay? But they talk about Peter leaving. So let's look at this. What are we going to do about this issue here? This is very clear. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. The rooster crows. Singular. Before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me. Could have been two roosters or could have been the same rooster twice. Okay? So the point is what? Is that a contradiction? If not, why not? Okay. Before the rooster crows, multiple vocalizations of the rooster. Okay. The rooster implies one rooster. This could be the rooster, same rooster crowing twice. Okay. Yeah, Troy? And the blind men that were healed, is it the blind men healed outside of Jericho? That's the typical one. You know about the blind men outside of Jericho? One of the Gospels has that there were two. One of them has that there was one. Okay, right? And the question is, this is obviously a contradiction. Okay? And the answer is, well, if there was two, there was one. Which is your answer, right?
Yeah, at least there wasn't an instance where it's not, it doesn't say it's a rooster crowed once.
We can get away with it? Are we trying to get away with things?
Well, I mean, I suppose if somebody has a Book of Mormon and was showing me something where I found things like this, I would point it out to them, I probably wouldn't be real satisfied with their response.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to feel.
Well, we could always pretend the issue doesn't exist.
So
we could always, right? We could pretend the issue doesn't exist. But that's not, seriously, Jesus is going to claim in the next verses, all those who are of the truth follow me. He's going to say that to Pilate. And then Pilate says, what is truth? Okay, there's a couple of verses later, he's going to say that. We have to know this is here. We can pretend these issues don't exist. I don't think that's being truthful. I mean, our God is the God of truth, right? So we need to deal with it. So I think you have a good point, Roy. We got to deal with this.
I can give you my perspective.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the Holy Spirit, he's got to have a sense of humor because he's allowing this so that those who believe they are wise are really pretty stupid because of the comments that they make about this. These Gospels are written from the perspectives of four completely different men. Okay? You've got a crowd there. Okay? You could have 10 people asking the same question at the exact same time. This person's asking Peter, this person's asking another person, this person's just questioning in his own mind, isn't he one of them? And this gospel writer says, well, it was the servant girl, and this gospel writer says it was the group, and this gospel writer says it was somebody else. And they were all doing it. Okay, so I think the Holy Spirit does it so that, you know, he makes the wise look stupid. Just like, and I don't know, I'm not going to, well, yeah, I don't care. I believe the world was created 6,000 years ago, okay? But it looks like it's been billions and billions of years. Our God isn't able to create the world in age?
Yeah, with a, what's called a parent age.
Right, so with a parent age. So I think that I believe this is the same thing. And that's why with the cock crowing, it's just that they grow.
Okay.
It wasn't important to them that they said that they crowed, crowed twice.
Okay. Dan, what was the name of that movie we saw a couple years ago? I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's, I think, an attempted assassination of a political leader over in Spain. And the story is told three or four times in the movie, each from different perspectives. And with the first one, you have a certain perspective of who did the killing. And then as the story is told again from different people's perspectives throughout the movie, you learn more and more about it. It's a rather interesting way to tell a story. And that's what you're saying here, is you have different perspectives. And we've all been in group discussions, right, where people are talking among themselves, and then somebody else is talking to the leader or talking to somebody else. And what do they say? Let's have one meeting here. You ever been involved in that, where they say that? Let's have one, because they're all having their discussions when they shouldn't, okay? But this is very typical, is what you're saying. This could have happened.
Well, you're a techie. She's a nurse. I'm an accountant. We listen to the same story, and we'll come up with three completely different perspectives of how it went because of our mindsets.
Who we are, sir.
God is alone.
Okay. Okay. Further. What we have to make sure we don't assume is that any one author is exhaustive in his perspective, right? None of them claim to be exhaustive. They all claim to be accurate, but they don't claim to be exhaustive. We understand that, right? Give an example. Right here in our text, we have this questioning that goes on with the high priest that John sticks in the middle of all of this that none of the other gospels put in there, right? We're not saying, oh, these other ones are all wrong because they don't include that. Let me give you another time. You remember, Jesus was tried by Annas, goes to Caiaphas, and who does Caiaphas send him to? Pilate, right? And who does Pilate send Jesus to?
Herod.
And then who does Herod send Jesus to? Back to Pilate, right? So it goes Pilate, Herod, Pilate. That middle one about Herod, John doesn't even mention. Okay? John doesn't even mention. Does that mean that John is inaccurate? We don't trust John because he doesn't mention Jesus talking to Herod? No. It didn't fit John's purpose. Right? So none of these claim to be exhaustive. Because John doesn't mention those events, we don't discount all the events in John's gospel about what was going on here, you know, at the trial. We don't say, well, everything John says is wrong because he doesn't mention Herod, the trial before Herod. So that's your perspective. Okay. Other answers? Yeah.
When the rooster crows is an idiom for the morning, or
I've wondered that
when you wake up, when the rooster crows twice could be another idiom as that moment when you're conscious, because the rooster crows the first time and it's the second experience. It's the second time he crows. You're awake.
That you're coherent?
You're subconscious. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, wait a second.
It's the second time when you want to choke the room.
Now, let me tell you some perspective. Some people think that when the rooster crows, you're saying it might be metaphorically just mean morning, that was a term used by the Romans for the bugler that they would have 3-hour change of guard type situation, because they would have four, the Romans did, and that when the bugler sound, that was the rooster crowing. Now, some people think that I'm not real satisfied with that, but my point is that's a metaphorical use, as what you're saying is a possible metaphorical use of the whole phrase. Okay? The reason I tend not to the metaphorical use is because this big deal about twice. You know, it sounds like it was a real rooster, rather than just the sun coming up or something like that. Any other thoughts? Yeah, Brian.
It's notable. I mean, even if not to hang on what Dean said, but if everybody knows that rooster crowing, but rooster crowing multiple times is maybe less usual. They'll just crow if they're okay this morning. On the other hand, I got one down the street for me.
Yeah. That's what all these guys here that live in the country are saying. When the rooster crows, it crows a lot.
So which crowing is it? The other three didn't say the first crowing.
Okay, see, I had always assumed, guys, just I'm so naive. I had always assumed that when Jesus says that no rooster in the whole area crowed until Peter denied him three times, that God was in control and that no rooster was allowed to crow. God wouldn't let him. Okay, or God didn't cause him to crow. Except John sort of, Mark sort of throws a wrench into that.
It could be also like Genesis 21, after Pharaoh's dream, Joseph tells him that because this thing has heard double, that was another manifestation that wasn't just a son of random thought.
Yes. Okay. Well, I wanted us to see that. I want us to be aware of this issue. It's an interesting issue about what's going on. Okay, it's time for lunch. I'm surprised you guys have stayed so many minutes over time. Is it clear on the clock? Okay.
Yeah.
I want you guys to look at the Old Testament. Y'all got your homework, right? Those of you who don't have the sheets, I still have extras here. Look at the third and fourth line, the Old Testament backgrounds. Jesus claims to teach openly. And notice also, where is it? Yeah, look at the fourth one. Was Jesus obedient to the principle of Exodus 22:28? Compare that to Paul in Acts 23:1-5. What is interesting about these, in both cases, you had Jesus being tried, you had Paul being tried, they both are slapped. Okay? Look at the reactions. Okay? And then I want you to ask this question. Okay, we're pushing you here. Paul quotes a commandment from Exodus and says it's still applicable. Okay? Ask that, how does that help us understand what comes in the Old Testament is still applicable to us today? Okay? And then, those of you who are on the right side politically, there's a few of us here, ask yourself about that and how that relates to what you say about the man who lives in the White House. And those of you who are on the left side politically, ask yourself about how that relates to what you said about the previous occupant of the White House. Okay? So you both ask yourself what that says to you. Okay? Got that? Good. That's your homework. That'll keep you busy for a while. Okay? Good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have your word. Lord, as we're dealing with these issues, we even see Jesus, the great prophet, who even predicts what's going to happen in the next few hours. And Peter denied his Savior. Lord, we deny you too. And it's not a good thing. But you forgave Peter and you restored him and you forgive us and you restore us. But Father, we pray that we would openly live the kind of life, say the kind of things come out of our mouth as words came out of Peter's mouth that say, we are a follower of Jesus. And that when people ask us about this, we would not deny, but we would do what Peter tells us to do, give a reason for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.